We're looking at a section in 2 Peter chapter 1 that many people call the Christian graces. And we've looked at some of these graces, but we want to read the entire list, and then we want to see what Peter says about these graces in the verses that follow. Let's pick up in verse 5 again. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, is where Peter says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness." Let's begin today by talking about godliness. Godliness is defined as piety toward God, reverence toward God. It means to be devout. And sometimes in the New Testament, it is translated being devout. It means to be religious in the true sense of the word. And a good example of a devout man, even before he became a Christian, is Cornelius in Acts 10, verse 2. The Bible says that he was a devout man who feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. So what does it mean to be a devout person or a godly person? Well, Cornelius was one who feared God himself, and he feared God with all his house. He gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. So when we add godliness to our faith, that means that we fear God. That means that we pray to God often. That means that we worship God. It means that we give. It means that we help others. Peter says, add this godliness to your life. And then in verse 7, Peter gives the next Christian grace when he says, and to godliness we are to add brotherly kindness, that is, brotherly love. Now, you've probably heard that this word comes from the word Philadelphia, which is the word for Philadelphia in modern times, and it is translated in the ancient times as the city of Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. So this is brotherly love. It is brotherly kindness. It is the love that Christians have for each other. In Romans 12, verse 10, there's an interesting expression here where Paul says that we are to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. So Paul not only uses these words, brotherly love, but he adds this expression to be kindly affectioned, that is, to be kindly affectionate one toward another. And that shows the warmth, the compassion, and the true love that we have for each other. But this love is described in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, as a love that is so strong and so great that it moves us to be willing to die for each other. In 1 John 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Are you willing to do that? Do you love your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ enough to die for them? That is brotherly love. It is so important. We must have it, and we must keep adding it. We must continue to grow in it. That's why Peter is saying to these people that they are to keep on adding this grace to their lives. And then finally, he says to add to brotherly kindness love. So this is not just love of fellow Christians. It would involve that, but it's love in general. Love of God, love of family, love of brethren, love of strangers, and even love of enemies. Because the Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 44, love your enemies. So Peter begins with faith. He ends with charity or love. And this love, the Bible says, is the greatest duty of all. There are two passages in particular in the Bible that talk about love being the greatest. In Mark chapter 12, verse 29, Jesus said that the greatest commandment of all is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second one, the one that is second in importance or greatness, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Mark chapter 12, verse 31. And we also find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter of the Bible, that Paul says, now remain these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So these are the Christian graces that Peter talks about, adding to your faith virtue and knowledge and self-control and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. Now, after he said to add those things to our lives, he talks about what these things will do for us if we have them. Look at verse 8. For if these things, these Christian graces, be in you, and not just be in you, but abound. Now, this is very important. Peter said it's not enough just to have a little bit of these things, just some acknowledgement of these things in your heart. But he said, if these things are in you, in your heart and in your life, and if they abound, if your life is full of these graces, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, you will not be barren if you have these things in your life as a Christian. The word barren there means idle. It means to be inactive. If you have these Christian graces in your heart and in your life, you will not be a pew warmer. You will not be someone who lets other people do the work in the church. You'll be busy. You'll be active. And these things will drive you and motivate you to do the Lord's will. So he says you won't be idle if these things are in your life, and you will not be unfruitful. To be fruitful refers to the results, the effects of your labors, the products of your work in the church and your work in the Christian life. So what he's saying is you will see the good fruits of your labor in the church and in other people, and these Christian graces will guarantee that. Now, on the other hand, in verse 9, he talks about the condition of a Christian who does not add these things to his or her life. Look at verse 9. But he that lacks these things, these Christian graces, he that lacks these things is, first of all, blind. He is blind spiritually. Number two, he cannot see afar off. A man who does not add these Christian graces to his life is nearsighted. He is short-sighted spiritually. Now, that means he only sees the things of this world. He's only interested in the things of this life. And he does not see by faith the reward in heaven. Now, who is he talking about here? He's talking about Christian people. He's saying that Christian people who do not grow are blind. Christian people who do not add these Christian graces cannot see afar off. And we know that for sure because he also says that a Christian who does not add these graces has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So he has taken his salvation for granted. He hasn't tried to grow, and that is a very dangerous thing. The very moment that we forget and we fail to appreciate and be thankful for the fact that God has forgiven our sins is a dangerous signal in our Christian walk. Now then, let's go to verse 10, because he talks about the assurance that these Christian graces give. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. And notice again that he talks about the effort that we are to put into this, because in verse 5 he said to give all diligence. Now he's saying again in verse 10 to give diligence, to make sure that we do these things. And he says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That is, to make your Christianity, your salvation, sure. Can we be sure of our salvation? Peter says you can. And Peter tells us how to make sure. He said, you make sure that you add these things to your life, and you will make your salvation sure. So if we want, as we sometimes sing, blessed assurance, Peter says, here is how you can have it. Make your calling and election sure by adding these things, he says, for if you do these things, now notice the word do here. If you do these things, sometimes people say that what you do has nothing to do with your salvation. Look at what Peter says here. He says, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, by saying, if you do these things, and put the stress on the word if, If you add these Christian graces, you shall never fall. That shows that it's possible to fall. Why would Peter tell these people to do these things to keep from falling if you can't fall to begin with as a Christian? That just wouldn't make any sense, was it? He's telling them in this entire book of 2 Peter how to keep from falling. That's what the book is about. And Peter says the way to keep that from happening is to make every effort to give all diligence to add these Christian graces to your life. And in verse 11, he says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, in verses 12 through 15, he tells these people to keep remembering these things. Notice in verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent," I'm not going to be neglectful to do this, "to put you always in remembrance of these things." I'm going to remind you of these things. I'm going to keep reminding you of these things. And he adds, "even though you know them." Why would Peter stress these things when these people already knew them? Because we need reminding. "Even though you know these things," he says, "and you are established in the present truth." Teaching the Word of God and preaching the gospel is not just helping people learn things that they don't know. It is reminding Christians of what they already know. Repetition is important, and it is effective in teaching the gospel. And we do need to be reminded. No matter how long you've known the truth or how well you know the Bible, you need reminding of even the most basic and simple parts of Christianity. Now, in verse 13, he says, "Yea, I think it meet." In other words, I think that this is proper or fitting. "As long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Now, what does he mean by being in this tabernacle? Well, the tabernacle that he's talking about refers to his physical body. The word tabernacle literally means a tent. And we live in this tent or tabernacle for a short while. Paul called it the earthly house of this tabernacle. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. And Peter says, "as long as I am alive, I'm going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, by reminding you I can stir you up as a Christian." Now, he repeats this in chapter 3, verse 1, when he said, "this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Christians need to be stirred up at times because we get lazy, we get unconcerned, we go to sleep, and we lose our zeal and we lose our conviction. So Peter says, "I'm reminding you of these things, although you know them, and I'm doing that to stir you up." And Peter says in verse 14 that there was a special reason why he was doing this. And that is, Peter knew that he was going to die soon. When he wrote this letter, he knew that he soon would die. In verse 14, he says, "knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle," my body, "even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." Years before this, Jesus told him what was going to happen. He didn't say when it would happen, but he did say that it would happen. In John chapter 21, verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when you were young, you girded," that is, you tied up yourself, "and you walked whither you would. But when you shall be old, you will stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird or tie you and carry you whither you would not," that is, to a place that you don't want to go to. "And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God." So Peter was going to die a violent death. He was going to be executed. So Peter, like Paul, would die soon, and it helps to remember this as you read 2 Peter as well as 2 Timothy. Peter knows that he's going to die when he writes this book, and he knows that it's not going to be far off. And so in verse 15, he says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance."